Morning, guys. Really good to be with you again. Please forgive me for wearing the same shirt, but I think I told you last week that I prepped these messages or recorded them twice, and the first time I came and recorded them, I bought two different shirts. I was quite impressed with myself for doing that, so you wouldn't think it was just recorded at the same time. But as I said last week, when I left, I felt like I had missed God. And so I asked from Russ and from our team here, Grace, to re-record, because you need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, not what I'm trying to say. And anyway, today I forgot to bring a second shirt, so this is the same shirt I wore last week. But it's very, very good to be with you, and I'm going to pick up without recapping from last week. And if you didn't hear last week's message, I ask you please to take the time to listen to it, not for my sake, not because I think it was a good preach, but because I think God was speaking. And even a message poorly preached, if it comes from God, needs to be heard. But let's pray for this morning. Father, thank you. I can't begin to express it, and I actually don't understand, Lord, how your Holy Spirit is with us, Father, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit transcends time and space. And I thank you, Father, that the same Holy Spirit that was hovering over the waters in Genesis chapter 1, it's the same Holy Spirit that came upon Samson and enabled him to tear a lion to pieces. It's the same Holy Spirit, Father, that anointed our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4. The same Holy Spirit that fell in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. It's the same Holy Spirit that is within us now. I thank you, Father, that your Spirit is with that person that's alone in hospital suffering COVID, and yet your Spirit is here in this moment right now. Your Spirit, Lord, who's able to be omnipresent and yet so very present at the same time. And I ask, Father, that you speak to your children today, and I ask for myself, Father, for the grace to be able to bring your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, I shared with you from Ephesians 4 about an Ephesians 4:11 footprint that I believe God is growing in your church, and we looked at Ezekiel chapter 37, where the miracle of God or the prophetic word comes to this valley of dry bones, and it's a two-part prophecy. The first one is what I would call a pastoral prophecy that brings the body together, and the second one, as I shared with you last week, I see as an apostolic prophecy that causes this body that's come together to arise and stand as a mighty army. And we also looked at the fact that part of the nature of the church, the purpose of the church, is to fight, is to struggle, is to wrestle. And what I'd like to do this morning is just share a couple of points on knowing what it is we fight, and knowing from where we fight, and then if there is time, just looking at some of the weapons of our warfare. And so the first thing is to realize where we are fighting from. We are not fighting to win something. We are fighting to apply something. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Thanks be to God who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumph and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. We are not fighting to win something. Jesus has done that. We are not fighting to destroy the devil. Jesus has done that. We are not fighting to disarm the devil. Colossians chapter 2 says Jesus has done that. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them through the cross. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. couple of years ago, I read a number of books to do with spiritual warfare, and I read a variety of them to try and, people of different opinions and different biblical interpretations, just to try and get a broad understanding. And one of the statements I read that for me captured everything so well was by a man called Neil Anderson in his book Bondage Breaker, and he said something along these lines. He said, 2,000 years ago, the devil was defeated in a power encounter. And now, that defeat is enforced by a truth encounter. There was a power encounter, and Jesus won that. And now there is a truth encounter, and the church does that. We're not involved in the power encounter. That was Jesus's responsibility. That was Jesus's accomplishment. But we are involved in a truth encounter that applies, that appropriates, that enforces the power victory. I hope that makes sense. So it's really important for us to know where we're fighting from. We're not fighting with the outcome at stake. We're fighting from the place of victory. The second thing is that it's very important for us to know what we're fighting against. And we will, most of us, be familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, and it's interesting the context of which Ephesians 6 is spoken, because chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul speaks about husbands and wives, parents and children, employers and employees. That's the context. And then once he's dealt with that context, which, by the way, friends, you know is everyday life, your marriage, your kids, your job space. That's everyday life. And in that context, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the devil's schemes. And I find the context of those verses very interesting, because generally we think of spiritual warfare and it's out there, it's in the heavenlies, and it's all over the show. But actually, if I think of where has most of my spiritual warfare taken place, it's been within the context of family, been within the context of marriage, children, and workplace. That's where I've had most of my struggles. He goes on to say, in the context of relationships, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do not struggle, other version says, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual force of wickedness in the heavenly realms. He's saying that we don't fight people. Now, it seems like we fight people. And the world is really highlighting that. We don't fight people. We fight principalities and powers. And I think the devil is really, really happy when he's got people fighting against each other instead of them collaborating and fighting him. In John chapter 8 and John chapter 10, Jesus describes the devil using these three words. He says in John chapter 8 that the devil is a murderer and a liar. And then in chapter 10, he describes him as a thief. A murderer, a liar, and a thief. In other words, one who's wanting to take life. One who is wanting to contaminate, distort, and confuse. And one who is wanting to plunder property. And if you think about it, the first time the devil is mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, that's exactly what he comes to do. He lies to Adam and Eve. He effectively murders them. Their eternal life comes to an end. For God said, on the day that you eat of that fruit, you'll surely die. He brought about their death. And he also plundered their property, in the sense that Adam and Eve lost it. And so we got a hold. We're fighting a spiritual battle in the heavenlies against one who wants to lie, murder, and rob. What's really important, though, dear friends, is for us to know what we're fighting for. So we know where we're fighting from. We know what we're fighting against. But what are we fighting for? I want to give you three examples that I've had in my heart over the last little while. Three areas of fighting. So we know that we're fighting in the heavenlies, but that can be that can be quite theoretical. How does this thing play out? So Ephesians chapter 6 plays out in the context of Ephesians chapter 5, which is everyday relationships. Our wrestling, if we say we're involved in spiritual warfare, if we say God is calling us to fight, what does that look like? In the last couple of weeks or months, my fighting, my wrestling has been in three specific areas. As you know, Hides and I are very involved in Zimbabwe, particularly Harare. And in some strange way, God has enabled us to lead a church there. Ken and Jeanette were leading that church a couple of years ago, and we're now leading that church remotely. And you say, how does that happen? And to be honest, I don't know. I can tell you that by the grace of God, it's working. It's not easy. I can tell you that. But it's working. And there is this conviction, the sense we have that God has called us to do it. And that really settles it. And so we're involved in this church in Harare. And they are now 12 weeks of lockdown. And I know that... Please don't view, how can I say this? Lockdown in different countries and in different worlds means different things. And lockdown in a first world country and lockdown in a third world country are very, very different. And so we've seen struggle in Harare. We have seen the struggle of this whole lockdown, the church moving, the church being stopped, the church moving, the church being stopped, momentum being gained and then momentum being taken away. And we've seen physical hunger. I mean, proper physical hunger. We've seen proper oppression. But we've seen a people who, this thing in Zimbabwe, this oppression has been going on for decades. It's not something new. This is just a new form of oppression. Oppression in Zimbabwe has been going on for decades. And I have been fighting this. Please, I'm not a hero. I'm not some brave pastor. But I can tell you that on my knees, I've been fighting for this church, as many other people have. Please, I'm not setting myself out as Apostle Paul saving the church. But I have been fighting for this church. On my knees, I've been fighting. Paul commends Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4, and he says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. I love that. Epaphras is just a simple man. He's always wrestling prayer for you that you may stand firm in the Lord, mature and fully assured. I love those three things. He's wrestling for this, that you may stand firm in the Lord, mature and fully assured. And so I think of this wrestling that's taking place at the moment. What does it mean for us to fight as a church? Well, we're fighting. And by the way, Gateway, thank you so much. I've joined a number of your prayer meetings over the last few Tuesday nights. And together, in prayer like Epaphras, we have been wrestling for the church in Harare, for the church that we're involved in, that it may stand firm in the will of God, that it may mature. That what's the opposite to mature? To stagnate. To be stuck in an adolescent zone, But we've been wrestling that it will be, that it will stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. What does the devil want to do at a time like this in the church? Is to make people feel insecure, doubt, hopeless. What's going to happen? Will we meet again? When can we meet again? All these questions that want to make the church insecure, and Epaphras wrestles that they will stand firm. That's how we fight, friends. And so that's been one of the areas that I have fought is a let's put it this way, it's a big battlefield. Let me take you to another battlefield that's been a little bit smaller. It's a couple that Heidi and I met some time ago, quite by chance. We met them at a shopping center. Never met them before, but I noticed their children, and they just seemed to have beautiful kids. I went up to them and asked them, are these your children? And for some of you, that might be a little bit forward. Not in South Africa, I don't think. Anyway, maybe it isn't. I'm just too thick-skinned or presumptuous. But anyway, I went up to this family. I said, are these your children? And they said, well, two of them are and two of them aren't. I said, gee, you just got such a beautiful family and such lovely children. And we introduced ourselves and we got chatting. Anyway, to cut a long story short, they ended up with COVID in hospital. And subsequent to that, some proper marital issues. I mean, beyond the point of no return. We met them just quite by chance in a coffee shop. And somehow, when I met them, God laid them on my heart. A few weeks later, found out about COVID, found out where they live, go and visit them. They were really, really sick, and they poured their heart out about their marriage. I've been fighting for them for the last few weeks. Been fighting for them on my knees. What have I been fighting for? Number one, I've been fighting for their salvation, because I know that they could get healthy, and I know that their marriage could be sorted, and they could reach a happy place as a family, and they can actually do that without being saved. But the deepest issue for me is their salvation. And so this is what I've been wrestling for over the last couple of weeks in prayer. I've been wrestling, number one, for a revelation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a revelation of their own state of helplessness, and that they come to know God. That's honestly what I'm fighting, that they will know Jesus, that they I explained to them, you don't just morph into being a Christian, you are born again to become a Christian. There is a decisive moment where you put your faith in the Lord, you encounter Him, and my number one fight has been for this encounter moment. It hasn't happened yet. What else am I fighting for? I've been fighting for their health. So I've been praying for their healing. I've been fighting for their marriage. So I have visited and counseled and shared and been vulnerable about my own life and dropped off a book for them to read, but and listened and wept, actually. Well, not wept, just shed a few tears. Somehow I don't weep anymore. I just like leak a little bit. So my eyes have leaked a little bit. But I've been wrestling for their marriage. Been wrestling for their children, because you know, even if the parents get through a phase like this, the effect on the children can last forever. So that's what I've been fighting for. The battlefield, not quite as big. I'm telling you, my third battlefield I've been fighting, it's the battlefield of my own mind. The scripture says somewhere in 1 Peter, it talks about the sinful desires that wage war against our souls. Interesting little phrase. Wage war against our souls. That there is a battle where the battlefield is me. So first battlefield I mentioned you now is a city. Second battlefield I mentioned is a family. The third battlefield I want to share with you vulnerably and honestly is the battlefield of my own mind. To stay sane, to to not have burnout, to not get down, to stay in peace, stay in the place of peace. And some of you are thinking, surely a pastor, you know, doesn't struggle with those kind of things. Have you ever read Psalm 42? As a deer pants for the water. What does David say about his soul? He says, why so downcast within me, O my soul? Hope in the Lord, for I will yet praise him. David, greatest king of Israel, refers to his soul being downcast. Well, that's just a very nice way or very poetic say of, I was having a really bad day. I was having a down moment. I was struggling. Can I say this? I was feeling depressed. That's what David's saying. My soul is, why so downcast? Basically he's saying, why are you so depressed, O my soul? And sometimes our fight is for our own state of mind, for our peace. We're wrestling for this peace. Some of us are wrestling in our souls for purity, because the stuff we watch and the stuff we've become comfortable with and the stuff that's become part of us is ungodly. So for many of us, dear friends, the battlefield is in our minds, my own life and my own soul. Here's three pictures of different battlefields. Each one of them, a spiritual battle. Each one of them, fighting from a place of victory. Each one of them, fighting in the Lord. I'm not fighting these battles by myself. I'm trying to be a hero. I'm fighting these battles in the Lord. Friends, I shared those three stories with you because the point was, know what we're fighting for. We're fighting for people. We're fighting for souls. Psalm 16 says this. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Other version talks about the lines that have been assigned. Another version says, your measuring line marks out a delightful place to be. When I stop and contemplate, Lord, what is it that I fight for as an individual, as your child, as a soldier in your army? And when I ask this question of what is it that we fight for as a church? I mean, what really can I fight for? It's that property that God has assigned. What has God assigned for you? What has God assigned for your marriage? What has God assigned for your children? What has God assigned for Gateway Church? What is He assigned for you in your city and in your suburb? What is He assigned for you in the region and in the nations? That's what we fight for. See, my son has made some big decisions of late. Relational decisions, work decisions, where he lives decisions, and also his new car decision. Let me tell you the order in which I prayed for those things. Let me tell you the order in which I fought. I asked myself this question, Lord, what have you ordained for my son? What are the measuring lines that you have marked out? What is the territory that you have assigned for him? And so I think to myself, I'm fighting for his relationship with God. I'm fighting for his relationship of life partner. I'm fighting for his sense of location. I don't want him to choose England or choose America or choose Australia just because it's nice. I want him to be where God wants him to be. Acts chapter 17 talks about God marking out the times, the seasons, and the exact spaces or places in which we're meant to live. I'm fighting for those things for him. I didn't actually fight too much about what car he bought, because I'm not really convinced that God marked out a Ford versus a Toyota. But I can tell you that he marked out this woman as opposed to that woman to be his wife, and this place as opposed to that place to live his life, and this company as opposed to that company to work for. And so it's really helped me understand the fight that we are in as believers. What are we fighting for? We're not just fighting for nice. We're just fighting for comfortable. We're not fighting for preference. We're saying, Lord, according to Acts 16 and many other scriptures, this is the territory that you assigned. This is the territory that you assigned. And I'm fighting for that. What do we fight with? Obviously, we fight through prayer. Obviously, we fight through prophecy. We fight through worship. We fight when we preach in whatever context. Those are the means of fighting. But what do we fight with? God has given us four supernatural weapons, four indescribably powerful bombs of God. I don't know how else to describe, missiles of God. He has given us the person of the Holy Spirit within us, who brings 9 supernatural gifts. That's why he said in Acts chapter 1, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift promised by the Father, which you heard me speak about. For in just a few days, you will be baptized, you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when he comes upon you. How do I fight? Number one, the person of the Holy Spirit within me. Number two, by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is not some barbaric ritual. The Hebrews chapter somewhere, I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, says, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood speaks of a promise of the Father. Number three, we fight with the name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. David said to Goliath, you come against me with sword, spear, and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And number four, we fight with the Word of God. We have been given these four supernatural weapons with which to fight. The presence of God by the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time. I ask you, Father, that you put courage, faith, clarity, conviction, purpose, an understanding of what we fight for, of who we fight, and what we fight with. In Jesus' name. Amen. Dear church, thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and send you love and prayer and hope from South Africa. Thanks, guys.